If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, you can get help by visiting gamblingaddictioncenter.com. Addiction is a disease, and we here at the Five Tool Sports Podcast and Football Scout 365 want our listeners to know that everything we present on our show with regard to point spreads and betting, that is strictly for entertainment purposes only. So
everything in moderation, guys.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than pray down harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here, fresh off a workout, sweating like a dog, putting in the work so I got the stamina to bring you these winning picks for this weekend. With me today, I have all the tools, CJ McLaughlin, the substitute, feet up on the desk, class out at recess, texting.
Recess all day, all day. As soon as they come to class, I'm like, all right, recess.
And on for the video for the class, they watch him recess. Coach Brandon Lundberg, fresh out the film room, bug eyed, looking like you just spent a night in there.
Looked like you had a kilo of Dan Campbell, you know, on that Dan Campbell,
just biting off kneecaps and
on that.
Can't find my whistle. I'm knocking on the door at the Dick's Sporting Goods in the middle of the night. They're not even open. I'm like, what?
Y'all
the heck,
need a
man?
Whistle. Y'all got a whistle. Yo, we got a hell of a show for y'all today. We're going to jump right into it because actually before we jump into it, there's one thing we should cover. The possibility that keeps ramping up. We've mentioned it before. The Dolphins, they're out on Tua. Even after you threw 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, but you lost to the Jags. You gave the Jags your first win. Brian Flores is beating his head against the wall because he knows this team is on the edge. They could do something if they just get a little consistency from that quarterback play. So they're talking a 3-team trade right now. The rumors are all over the place where Deshaun Watson will be heading to the Dolphins. Who knows if he'd even play this year? They might just be taking the L and playing Jacoby the rest of the year. And Tua heading towards the Washington football team. And then Picks heading back towards the Texans. What do y'all think about this?
I like it. Sounds like a win-win for everybody, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Taylor Heinicke, Tua quarterback battle?
No, I think it would be Tua's job, obviously, probably out of the gate. I think Heinicke's doing a good job, but if you're going to trade for him and you're going to get him, you're going to use him. But like we were talking about beforehand, I think Tua probably asked them to trade him elsewhere, and they, you know, probably found that third party to help him out rather than just kind of send him to the Texans, which if I were the Texans, I'd be trying to get somebody like Tua. At least when I look ahead to this next year's draft and I'm looking at the quarterbacks as it stands right now, I wouldn't be too confident.
You're a believer in this upcoming draft. Davis Mills?
A believer in Davis Mills to the extent that he's a backup.
Glennon 2.0? Like that's what he is.
You just got to find a guy. You got to find your starter at this point. So
I'm with Brandon on that one. Davis Mills could potentially become, you know, a regular starter in the NFL. No, he has that type of potential. I'm not saying he is.
Does he?
But
does he, though? Does he really have starter potential?
But listen, at worst, Houston is going to want to at least have a stopgap quarterback, right? At least for, you know, a couple years so they don't become the Detroit Lions or the Cleveland Browns, you know. So it's smart, whether it's Tua, whether it's Davis Mills. I mean, hey, you got to have a stopgap quarterback because if you don't at least have a stopgap, you're not going to get any free agents. I mean, nobody's going to want to come and play there if you're not going to win.
Cool. I like it for the Texans, but it's just so bold to give up that many draft picks. I mean, it's hard to get a top five quarterback, and Deshaun's that. So I guess you play the lottery, right?
Well, Big Ben's still playing, so I think that's what Miami's banking on.
All right, guys. See, you want to hit us with the trivia real quick, and then we'll just roll through these games.
Hey, the blicky back four. You know, it's been a ammunition shortage, but I had to get on the dark web. I had to make a couple calls. Oh,
what kind of trivia is this going
to
be?
I had to talk to my man Rufus. You know what I'm
saying? No, you got it. You got to get an NRA. What is it? Sign up to be a member of the NRA. And then you'll have.
All right. So this is a good one. I feel like it's an easy one too. That's why I didn't give y'all a hint. At first, I put a hint on the outline. I was like, you know what? This might give it away. So without further ado, your boy C's 5 Tool trivia question is, who's gained the most scrimmage yards since 2016? I ask one more time, and Woody, back in the corner of the classroom, please don't blurt out the answer if you know it. Please. I'll send a letter home to your mama with me in a box with a bow in it. Try me. Who has gained the most scrimmage yards since 2016? Brandon, I see you looking at something, man.
No, I'm not. My hand is behind my back. My other hand is on a bar cart stand thing. I'm just staring down at a charger and a 5-hour energy thinking.
So what's your answer? Since 2016.
I'll just go Derrick Henry.
You go Derrick Henry. That's a really good guess. Woody, who you got?
I want to say it's either Tyreek Hill or Alvin Kamara. But I'm going to go with officially with my political answer, Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara. All right. So Woody gives me Alvin Kamara, which is a good answer. And Brandon gives me King Henry, which is another good answer. Unfortunately, both of you guys are wrong. Who has gained the most scrimmage yards since 2016? It is Ezekiel Elliott.
Wow. Nice.
Okay. Man. All right.
8,967 yards from scrimmage since 2016. I always say it, the best ability is what, fellas?
Availability.
And he's at the top of this list because he's been the most available since 2016. King Henry is second at 7,473 scrimmage yards. And the only reason he's second is because if you guys remember when he first came to the league, he was splitting time with DeMarco Murray at first. And then just to round out the top five since 2016, Ty Gurley is ranked number 3. Julio Jones is the lone receiver on this list at number 4. And Melvin Gordon at number 5.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I remember reading something about that's interesting, Melvin Gordon, man.
Yeah.
Of all people.
That was when it shocked me. That's why I had to throw the top 5 in here. I'm like, what? Melvin Gordon in here?
You're like, how this ain't real.
Yeah.
Carolina Panthers and New York Giants. The Giants are getting 2.5 in this game, and I don't think it's enough. Saquon Barkley, still up in the air. Guys, tell me what you think about this game. I'm going to look up and see if there's an update on his status right now real quick.
I do think that he is out, actually.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, Tony and Galladay didn't practice today. Well, they're not out. I apologize. So as of today, Barkley, Tony, and Galladay have not practiced yet. So something to keep an eye on. We got one more day for them to log.
There's no point. There's no point. He's coming back from an ACL. You don't want him out there with a bum ankle too. If they do it, they're done. Yeah, so they might.
Panthers though. Hey, look, man, they've covered 8 of their last 9 road games. Something to pay attention to. How relevant is that? Whatever. Giants defense, it's not really good at anything. They do create turnovers. Panthers offense is just an average offense. The one thing that I do want to point out, the Panthers defense started out their first 3 weeks allowing 10 points a game. They're now giving up 30 points in the last 3.
They've gone against some good offenses, though.
This might be an opportunity for them to right the ship, obviously, against the Giants who don't have much firepower right now because everybody's hurt. So something to think about, though.
Well, I watched a lot of the Panthers-Minnesota game last week, and Sammy D had a hidden stat line. Like, his receivers had 4 drops. DJ Moore had 4 drops. No, Robbie Anderson had 4 drops. DJ Moore had 3 drops. It was brutal. But in the fourth quarter, I saw that offense get right. They made 2 scoring drives. And Sammy D put some good throws down. And I really think this is get right game for them. I'm smashing the Panthers on this one.
You think it's a get right game?
I think it's a get right game.
I think Sam Darnold can't get right.
That means he'd make the majors.
Look, man, as
give him
Brandon,
smack, right?
As Brandon pointed out, that defense,
you're gonna eat your
like,
cornbread.
That defense looked like it was gonna be great early in the year. Then they ran into the Dallas Cowboys, and they've trended down since then. They're on a 3-game losing streak, so I mean that's a bit alarming. And what do you, man? Look, you'll bring up when Sammy D's receivers drop a bunch of passes, man, but you never highlight when Sammy D just play like crap.
No, he's been terrible the last 2 games. Okay, and I saw him in that fourth quarter. He played like a real, he brought them back. He brought
like a real Trojan, huh?
Hey, look, if they would do better in the third quarter, they wouldn't be struggling so much to come back in the fourth quarter. So
and the Giants are a team to get it right against, though. Like, let me tell you, as a fan.
Look, I have the Panthers here. I think they cover.
After all that, after talking all that smack, you're going to dare take Sammy D and the Panthers? You ain't allowed.
I mean, the Giants are awful.
They are. Yeah. So Sterling Shepard, and him we trust.
There you go.
All right, so Brandon, you taking the Panthers too?
Yep, got him.
Okay, cool. New York Jets at New England Patriots. Now, the Patriots are getting, they have a 7 points, minus 7 in this one. Jets are getting 7 points because last time these two teams played, Bill Belichick rocked Zach Wilson's world, said, welcome to the NFL. 5-interception game. And Zach really hasn't recovered since. He looked decent opening week and then just, it's been bad since then. I paid $14 to pick up New England in this game where Dak Prescott in another league where Dak Prescott's on bye. I was like, oh, you gonna make up the points for me?
Yeah, you know, I don't have too much to say about this game. I mean, I think the Patriots cover. The Jets are a bad team. I mean, I don't know really what else to add to this.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith, like, they paid him mad money. He's catching like 3 balls a game, not even getting targets.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about that either.
That's probably why Bill shouldn't be a GM. Probably. He is the GM of the Patriots, right? He has
like player personnel decision.
Yeah. I know. I think that. Maybe like, he shouldn't anymore.
President of football operations or something like that.
Yeah, but look, Patriots, they beat them 25-6 in week 2. They had 4 sacks, 4 turnovers. I see another repeat.
Yeah, I remember that week because you started Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, man, brutal.
No, I'm sorry to remind you of that.
So the Patriots, I mean, starting a wide receiver, it's just Zach Wilson. Has Zach Wilson gotten better in these last 4 games? That's what we're going to see here. This is a true litmus test.
Yeah, he's a rookie. I think he gets better with every game, even if the stats or the film doesn't necessarily show it. Experience is everything, right? And, I mean, rookie quarterbacks, you almost got to give him a pass. I know he's not having a great season, but I always like to point back to Peyton Manning, man. He threw hella interceptions his rookie year. Matt Stafford threw 20-plus picks his rookie year. I mean, it's a long list of really good quarterbacks who've had really bad rookie seasons, so it's no reason to panic yet.
So the Jets or New England Patriots put on wax?
Patriots.
Yeah, they cover. Patriots.
Covering seven. New York. No, New England Patriots.
No, he said New York. It don't count. He said New York.
New England Patriots.
No, I got him down in the Patriots. Already got him down in the Google Doc.
Oh, I'm so tempted just because I think Slaw's learned as a coach a little bit, and their games have been a lot closer, but just Bill against the rookie quarterbacks. Yeah. It's just not a smart bet. So New England Patriots cover. Kansas City Chiefs, Tennessee Titans. The Titans are getting 4 in this one. And guys, let me tell you, I know the Chiefs score a lot of points, but I don't think there is one man on that defense besides Chris Jones that could even put an arm on Derrick Henry right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. Although Tennessee's defense can't stop a nosebleed. So it kind of goes both ways, you know.
One eats up the clock, though, the running with Derrick Henry. And then the other one is big play. So that's what I'm looking at. If they can eat the clock, control the game of play.
The the one stat to be cognizant of is the Chiefs defense. They give up 133 yards per game on the ground. Titans are ranked third in the NFL in rush yards, averaging 164. Another 30 touches for Henry in this one. You can just lock that up. Titans, they're going to do everything they can to churn clock, kind of like when we were doing the Ravens game versus the Chargers. Just keep the Chargers offense off the field, keep their defense off the field, and wear them down throughout the game. I think that's what you're going to see the Titans attempt to do in this one. So, but again, it's the other side of the ball. Chiefs second in passing statistically, Titans 24th against the pass. So you're doing whatever you can to keep Mahomes on the sideline.
Yeah, this game here, look, I know everyone seems so concerned about the Chiefs, and quite frankly, the Chiefs' three losses this year are against the top three teams in the AFC conference, in the Baltimore Ravens at 5-1. You got the Chargers, who they lost to, who's 4-2. And then you have the Bills, who they lost to Sunday night, who is also 4-2. And then as far as matchups, I mean, look, this isn't a good matchup for Kansas City at all. But they faced a matchup similar to this one, and that was week one against the Cleveland Browns, who they beat. So I got Kansas City in this one. 4 points. I think they cover.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans. I'm going to go with the Titans. They're going to get it done on the ground. They're Derrick Henry, the momentum. I, you know, honestly, I'm not a fan of the Titans at all. But what they were able to do against Buffalo, they're going to more than be able to do that against the defense of Kansas City. So they'll be able to control the clock, keep Mahomes on the sideline out of rhythm. Also, Tyreek Hill did not participate in practice today. That's something to keep a close eye on.
I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs as well, because I we saw last week Patrick Mahomes had a Slim Shady moment. He snapped back to reality. Like he was struggling, and then he's like, all right, I got to pull some magic out.
He
like,
did have a come on, man moment.
but that
was bad. That funny. Look, if Patrick Mahomes wasn't as good as he was, we would be replaying that play like repeatedly, just like they did Mark Sanchez with the butt fumble.
Yeah.
Because that was bad.
Two different worlds.
So over under, what's the odds on Jackson Mahomes spitting on Steve McNair's grave at the game?
You can't say anything about Jackson Mahomes.
Over under on Jackson Mahomes dancing on Steve McNair's grave.
I think he's learned his lesson, hopefully.
Hopefully. I don't know. This is the incident number three.
Clout chaser.
Yeah. Washington football team, Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is favored in this one by 9.5. And before we get into this, we've watched Green Bay this season. Until last week, I don't think they're 9.5 points better than anybody. I think they've been winning games, but that's a big spread to cover.
Yeah, it is.
I agree, especially against a Washington football team, which, I mean, they're not terrible. They definitely haven't played great this year. That defense hasn't been...
Gibson might not be playing. That's something to look at.
That defense hasn't been up to par, but as you said, 9.5 points. I mean, we're talking Green Bay Packers here. They're 5-1, but I wouldn't necessarily say they've looked dominant this season. I think Aaron Rodgers has a big day. Washington football team secondary is pretty bad. However, Ron Rivera, the Washington football team, is still a competitive team. I think they keep it close. I think Washington football team covers in this one.
Antonio Gibson is participating in drills today.
Okay, well, that's good. If not, if he cannot give it a go, keep an eye on running back or rookie running back Jared Patterson to get some early down work with J.D. McKissic to be obviously play the same role that he has played. I don't know what the distribution would be between the two.
I think McKissic actually gets a lot of work here because they'll be playing from behind most likely.
Maybe. And one thing to consider, too, you know, the Packers, they've covered in each of their last five games, and four of Washington's last five games have gone over the total. You know, I didn't do a ton of research on this because I just off the top of my head, I know Washington, you're going to attack their secondary. I know the Packers rush defense is kind of susceptible to the run game. So I think it is important for Gibson to be out there and the run game to be an important staple, similar to the Titans against Mahomes. You're going to want to keep Rodgers on the sideline as much as you can, but I'm going to lean towards Washington football team at that -9.5. I want to see if that total has changed. I went through these earlier today just to make sure, but it is -7.5 on DraftKings Sportsbook.
That I'm going to still take Washington football team.
Okay, you're taking Washington. Yeah. That changes. Yeah.
It does.
Seven and a half. I'm taking Green Bay.
Yeah.
Because here's my thing. Rodgers torches bad secondaries. Like, that's he does that. He makes them pay. And Washington is a bad secondary.
Yeah. I'm going.
Man, it's hard.
Now I'm on the fence hardcore. I'm going to change that total, by the way. But let's just – I'll go with the Packers.
Packers to cover.
Team, yeah. It's tough, though. That's tough.
Atlanta Falcons, Miami Dolphins. Now Tua on the trade block here. So we wonder if he's going to have the yips a little bit, a little nervous energy. Falcons looked good the last two games. that defense, not great, but the offense has been moving. Yeah. I'm going the Falcons if they're getting a point here, because I think it's a bit of a wash.
Yeah, I think it's a wash too. I'm going to go Falcons. And look, my decider on this was the fact that the Falcons are coming off a bye week.
Yeah, and better quarterback too.
It's two bad teams. Right, you're right. The Falcons have a better quarterback. The Miami Dolphins defense isn't really playing up to snuff. That run game is very susceptible. The Falcons have struggled running the ball this year, but they may have some success this coming week. So I'm going to go Falcons.
Hey, you got Calvin Ridley back. Kyle Pitts had his breakout moment a week ago. A player prop to keep an eye on in this one, Cordarrelle Patterson, over under 39.5 receiving yards. I think he can hit 40 yards as a receiver. But keep in mind, Ridley is back. Pitts had the breakout. The Falcons do some things well, but they cannot stop teams from scoring. That's the one thing. Like, their defense does a good job against the pass and the run, but when teams are in scoring position, they can't stop it, especially in the red zone. I'm leaning Dolphins in this game. I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to take the Dolphins at home to get this one done.
Oh, okay.
I can dig it.
If Matt Ryan gets Kyle Pitts more involved in the red zone, that's going to open a lot of things up for Calvin Ridley. We'll see. Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are getting 6.5 points in this game. In division rivalry.
Yeah.
And Bengals have been playing great. Great football. This is tempting.
Yeah. This is look, tempting.
It is.
Cincinnati is still the little brother of the AFC North. It was Cleveland for a while, but the last 3-4 years has definitely been Cincinnati. It's still a divisional game. But I think because Cincinnati has that little brother kind of feel to it in the AFC North, that's why the spread is 6.5 points. Yeah. I'm taking Cincy to cover this.
Cincy to cover too.
And you know, I think it's they a lose. Because and they definitely have a chance to win this Chargers. For sure.
They're coming big off that Chargers win, and they lost their left tackle for the season. This is one of those trap games. This is the definition of a trap game. They may not win, but they're definitely going to cover, I think. I think
the line also kind of traps people from last week, gets people thinking, okay, Ravens are hot. They can cover this easily. If they could do it against the Chargers, why can't they do it against the Bengals? One thing to note, though, the Ravens covered the spread in 8 of their last 9 games against AFC Ooh. North opponents.
Ooh.
So that's a factor to keep your eye on.
That's a good stat.
Yeah, and then the Bengals, you know, they're not bad against the run. I mean, they've got the 8th-ranked run defense, but again, it's not your traditional running offense that you see in the NFL, with Lamar Jackson being the key component to all of that. Lamar has done a great job against the Bengals, so some highlight reel stuff. So I'm gonna roll with Baltimore. They're going to cover this thing easily. They're going to continue to control their destiny in the AFC North.
I just think Cincy, them having multiple weapons on the outside on offense, I think will be very beneficial to them versus that Ravens defense. I think I don't know, man. I'm not a believer. I know the Ravens held the Chargers to 6 points last week. I think it was more so about how the Chargers came to play that day as opposed to what the Ravens necessarily did. And mind you, this Bengals team, they took Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, you know, down to the wire. So the Bengals defense is more than solid. So, I mean, hey.
Force Lamar into passing situations and you have a chance. Just force them behind the chains and don't give up the big play on third down where he can make a play with his legs and you do have a shot.
So. I'm really interested to see the Jamar Chase, Marlon Humphrey matchup too, because he put Mike Williams on clamp last week. So this is a big test for the young wide receiver. Yeah, Detroit Lions at Los Angeles Rams. Biggest spread we've seen this season, I think, so far. Minus 16. Bruh, I know y'all are going to think I'm crazy. I think I'm crazy.
You're not the only one crazy here, so.
I think that Sean McVay is going to try to end Jared Goff's career here.
He's going to open up a can of whoop.
I agree. I think he's going to send the house at him. I think it's personal because he wants to show, like, y'all were wrong. And I think it's going to get messy.
You heard Dan Campbell, what he said about his own quarterback.
Especially after what we saw the Rams do to the Giants last week. Daniel Jones is playing better than Jared Goff. And it's good teams destroy bad teams. This is a bad football team.
Yeah. They're not so bad that they can't get a stop and they're just going to fall. I really think Houston is worse than the Lions, but I will give you this. I do believe this is going to be a hard game for Jared Goff. He might not want to show up, maybe. I do think Aaron Donald and some of these guys are going to try to tee off on him in this game. I really do. And
McVay's a smart dude. He knows what Goff can't do. He's just going to put him in that position over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, this one I don't need to really debate much about. I feel confident the Rams will cover this incredibly ridiculous spread. I'm going Rams, man. I'm not even going to think twice.
Yeah, I'm going Lions here to cover. I mean, this season,
if they run the ball and muck it up, because the Rams.
I mean, look, the Lions are 0-6 this year. They've been blown out twice. They were blown out last week to Cincinnati Bengals, and then they were blown out in week two versus the Green Bay Packers, and that was actually a game for the entire first half. So, I mean, look, they've been in every game. They lost to the Ravens on a 68-yard record-breaking field goal. The Lions, they're not a good team. They're a bad team. They're a competitive team. And look, Jared Goff is going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. I know Sean McVay, the Rams defense, they'll try to throw everything at him. They practice against the guy for 5 years, but I mean, 16-point spread, give me the Lions, man. Give me the Lions.
Now, CJ, I'm going to push back on you a little bit here because we said that exact same thing for the Lions last week. But we also pointed out last week, I think it needs to be said again, in that Ravens game, Hollywood Brown dropped 3 touchdown passes.
True that.
I'm sure a receiver for the Lions dropped some passes too. So,
but in the end zone, blown by 2 double cuts.
No, Woody, you're right. Yeah.
Shouldn't have been a close game. Philadelphia Eagles at Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders are -3 in this one. Eagles coming off the loss to the Bucks. They've had 2 late scrambles in their last 2 games. They fall behind early and then they come back. And the Raiders, after John Gruden being dropped, a lot of people thought they'd come out flat. They came out big last week and put a whooping on Denver against a good defense and a better defense than the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, what are we going to get from Jalen Hurts? That's the question we ask every week. Who are y'all going with here? I'm still kind of undecided.
I think Las Vegas may very well be a playoff team. You know, I said that early in the year, and then we saw them become, you know, a little susceptible to some things. Racism and you know, but you know, they look good last week given all the circumstances, so I think the Las Vegas Raiders are a tough squad, and I think they cover the 3 points here.
Yeah, Eagles defense, they haven't been good at stopping the run, so keep an eye on the Raiders in the run game. Even though they rank 30th in offensive rush yards this year, I think they might have opportunity to get the run game going in this one with Josh Jacobs, maybe even Kenyon Drake, a combination of the two. I know Josh Jacobs has like a over under in rushing yards of 55.5. might be something to keep an eye on, even though, like I said, they're not even rushing for, I think their total yards a game is like around 75 yards a game or something ridiculous like that. I think Jacobs could have an opportunity in this game to get the run game going. New coaching staff, or at least same coaching staff, different mindset. It feels like a week ago when we were able to see Kenyon Drake actually pop off and do some things as well. And you saw 15 or 16 more carries from Josh Jacobs. So this is a game I feel like he'll do well in. I'm going to go with the Raiders minus three.
Raiders minus three. I'm going with the Raiders minus three here too. I also think Darren Waller has a get right game here because the Eagles have nobody that can guard Waller.
And another thing to point out, last week's run success on the ground against Tampa, I mean, Fournette had a field day himself. He had. So, yeah,
for sure. Houston Texans, Arizona Cardinals, the biggest spread we've seen so far, minus 17. Arizona, Houston coming off a bad loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Arizona just put a beat down on the Cleveland Browns. They do it. They're putting it up again.
I mean, it's a 17-point spread. I got the Texans covering. I don't know what else to say about it. I got the Texans covering because it's such a big spread. It's a good team versus a bad team. I mean, hey, if you want to take Arizona Cardinals at minus 17, by all means.
There's no one on the Texans line that can even come close to Kyler.
Yeah, but you know what? Everyone on the Texans line is an NFL player. And that's why these spreads are, like, insane.
Yeah. If this was 21, which I've seen before with good teams versus bad teams, I would be worried here. But what do we say? Like, good teams destroy bad teams. And with how athletic Arizona's linebackers are, that's, like I said with last week, Darius Leonard in the middle, Davis Mills, like, going across the middle. Isaiah Simmons is a beast.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury is back this week, too. So.
Yeah.
And a J.J. Watt revenge game. Yeah, and he's got bad blood with the Texans organization. Give me the Cardinals to cover the massive spread. Now, I know I'm going to lose one of those games just because they're not both going to cover the Rams.
Ain't
and
no
the
way. I mean, they might, but maybe, but they do.
I'm going the Cardinals. Get J.J. Watt revenge game. He's just going to go off here.
Look, I got some numbers here. The Arizona defense, they've conceded 15.8 points per game over its last four games. And the Houston Texans, they've been outscored 102-24 in three road games this year. So, I mean, the numbers are unbelievably on point. And I feel like this is a weird week for these spreads to be what they are. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I'm going to say they're going to cover this easy.
And you going with the Texans still, see?
Yeah, I'm going with the Texans. Brandon makes a compelling case for sure, but yeah, I just think it's going to be a letdown game. Cardinals beat the Rams 37-20 a couple of weeks ago.
It looks like a letdown game when I first seen it, but then I just started thinking about J.J. Watt. There's going to be a lot of emotion. He's been playing real well, kind of get right from his injury too. So
Murray's a little banged up too. He's got like a little shoulder thing, I believe, going on. So
he does have little shoulders. Chicago Bears, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Minus 13 at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Damn.
This one is, man, Vegas must be hurting with all these spreads, man.
It's the weird 6-game bye week or whatever, or 16 bye week that we have going on.
This one, I mean, the Bears, their offense is so bad. But the Bucs secondary is torn apart right now. If they could get Justin Fields outside of the pocket, maybe some big plays downfield.
Well, logic tells us that if that's what you're saying to do, Matt Nagy's team won't do that. They'll let him sit there and get hit. They take more sacks than so far this year on a per game basis. So, look, the Bears, what they do well on offense is they're able to run the football, but the Bucs are the best at stopping the run in the NFL, and I don't think they're going to be able to really lean on the run game. So yeah, it comes down to, can Justin Fields attack the secondary? Even if he can, I think they lose the game ultimately, but I'm going Bucks. I'm going to take this insane minus 13.
Yeah. Give me the under here.
Going under here too. For some reason, I just think Justin Fields is going to have his like first decent game.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the Chicago Bears offense is just as good, if not better, as the Philadelphia offense the Buccaneers played last week. And, you know, you got Bill Lazor calling plays, not Matt Nagy. So with all that said, a 13-point spread, give me Chicago.
Williams back this week, too, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Chicago will be able to stay competitive. You know, they made it a game with the Green Bay Packers a couple weeks ago, lost 24-14. So,
and the Bears defense ain't no slouch either.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. All right. Who'd you go with, Woody?
Bears.
Got it. All right.
Indianapolis Colts, San Francisco 49ers. Colts coming off a big win against the Houston Texans. They look really good. The Niners are favored in this one at -4 still. Jimmy G going to be starting this one? Yes, he will be.
Yeah, he is. I think that's one of the big reasons the line has kind of held its ground a bit in this one compared to other ones that have moved a bit.
Yeah.
Where's the 49ers run defense looking like this year?
Not as good as we thought it would be. I know that much.
Yeah, no, that's real.
Yeah, I think the Colts win here. I think they go to San Francisco, and I think they beat San Francisco.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, the Colts have won each of their last 8 games against teams that held a losing record. Wow, that's frivolous stat, right? Maybe that matters to you or it doesn't, but
49ers are top 10 against the run, 566.
Yeah, there you go. So not bad. But the 49ers, they failed to cover the spread in 8 of their last 9 games as favorites. Something else to consider. 5 of the Colts' 6 road games have gone over the points total. So if you're looking at the over-under of 44.5, something to think about.
That's a good stat.
Jimmy G does get the start. Here's a crazy one. 49ers haven't beat the Colts since 2001.
That's a wild one. Yeah,
that's crazy.
And Jonathan Taylor's over under in this one, since Woody has him on his fantasy team. I'll point this out. And for any listener out there who's interested, even though San Francisco's run defense is 10th, I'd still potentially look at that 63.5 over under in rush yards and maybe even take
that on one
as a player prop.
Yeah. I would take the over. Yeah.
I think Jonathan Taylor is rolling right now. I think he's going to have another big game. And I think the Colts have learned they got to lean on him to balance out their offense. Carson Wentz has been looking much better by the week. His ankles are looking healthier. I think, like she said, I think the Colts win this one straight out, and they're getting 4 points. So it's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the 49ers -4.
Okay. All right. Monday Night Football. New Orleans Saints at Seattle Seahawks. God, what an ugly game for Monday night.
Another one, right? How Seattle got 2 back-to-back primetime games after Russell Wilson gets hurt.
Yeah.
I thought it was a flex schedule. Can't they change this?
Yeah, I guess they don't want to. I think this week it's hard to change it because there's not that many games. You got 6 games on bye. The Seattle Seahawks just brought in Jacob Eason off the street, so Geno might be done.
They don't have a quarterback in Seattle.
I think it is relevant because, like, if Geno's playing, he's familiar with the playbook. He's been in the offense for a full training camp. I think it'd be a closer game. If they bring Jacob Eason in fresh off the street and he's getting play, I'm going smashing the Saints here.
Yeah, I doubt Seattle will bring a guy in off the street with a week in the playbook and start him, though. That's not going to happen.
He better be genius.
Genius Geno!
And if he was, he probably wouldn't be a backup. So.
And also, this is something I'm pretty sure I remember this. Like, Sean Payton off of a bye is like automatic. Like, give that man a week to scheme. I'm taking Sean Payton to cover here. Like, period.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Same. I don't really have much to add to it. Seattle's awful right now without
Famous
Russ.
Jameis.
Yeah.
With the laces.
I think he's going to have a big game, I think. I think this is a stretch run where he's going to be leaned on a little bit more.
Michael Thomas back this week?
He might be. I don't know what his current practice status is. I haven't looked at it, but it's something to keep an eye on for sure. I know he is due to be back. I don't think he's going to play right away. There's people out there that doubt he'll even play at all this year. So for whatever reason.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what is his deal anyway.
Stealing money from the bank, boy.
Yeah, I don't know what something there's something personal going on, right, between him and the Saints.
So what happened was Michael Thomas had to get second and third opinions on his ankle, I believe, his ankle or his foot, yeah. And then he went against what the Saints doctors wanted him to do, and he delayed his surgery. And then he had a setback at some point this summer, and that's why he's missing this time. If he would have got the surgery done back in January, like they had suggested, he would have been there week one.
Okay. Well, there you go. Did we make our picks?
I went to New Orleans to cover 3.5.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
All right, guys. And also, New Orleans is great against the run, too. So Alex Collins, who's been having some recent success, probably not going to do as well.
I mean, he's hurt, too. Like, all these guys are hurt.
Well, Rashad Penny's coming off back from injury this week as well.
So he'll be hurt two plays in.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys. So that's going to wrap up our picks for this week. As always, C's up on top right now. I'm hitting there in second place, and Brandon's right behind me, and we'll knock him off though. C's due for a bad week. We'll see.
All
right,
I'm gonna buy a substantial this is the week. Margin, though. Don't forget to say that.
Yeah, it's not substantial. All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Always check out footballscout365.com for Brandon's real in-depth breakdowns, and the draft coverage is gonna be starting to ramp up for next year. He's looking at prospects. That's how I knew about a bunch of dudes coming into this year that I had never even looked at before. Shout out. I was all over Kadarius Toney because of Brandon and CJ. So, and then check our website out, number5toolsportspodcast.com. Let the music play. We out. Yo, how good is the Chronic 2001, though?
It was
right. I told
you. Cannot believe you never heard.
Does it not make you want to crip walk across the kitchen?
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.